And I've been doing themes related to prayer. And today, as I was praying this week, I said, Lord, what do you want us to talk about when it comes to prayer? And it was this whole idea of a refuge, making the Lord your refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge, just simple Oxford definition, is that a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Something providing shelter. Okay, that's basically, that's what a refuge is. Safety, shelter, protection. So there's lots of ways we use this word refuge. One way we use it as a wildlife refuge. Here's a picture of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Right, it's in Alaska, and those are caribou everywhere. It's a refuge there because you can't go hunt them in there. Right? You can't go hunt them. They can't build a giant hotel right on that lake and drink up their water supply. Right? It's a refuge. It's protected, so the animals can't be hunted. The land's not developed. Right? It's there to protect all those wildlife. It's a refuge. It's safe from them. Right? The moment they step out of the refuge, you can eat one. But if they're in there, they're safe. Then there's, we go to refuge. This is just right out in east of Sumas here. Some of you have been out there, Cedar Springs Retreat Center. It's a refuge. If you ever walked out of there on the grounds, they're just unbelievably manicured. It's a beautiful retreat center on a lake, and they've got a couple of miles of trails in the woods. They're old railroad grade, and you can just go out there. It's a refuge from every day. You can decompress. You can sit by the lake and pray. You can walk the grounds. You can just step away from life. So it's a refuge. We can go to a retreat center or go away to creation. Go away to the Mount Baker, and we can have refuge. I was at a Bible study. Wednesdays, I go down to the Ascent program through the Lighthouse Mission. These are people in a one-year discipleship program. They come out of base camp and they say, I want to get my life clean and sober and on track for Christ. And so I do a little Bible study with these guys. It's a highlight every week. I love doing it. And I was asking them, I said, how do you survive the cold when you're on the street? Because what was it 2 weeks ago? 6 degrees? 5 degrees? And a couple of them were praying for these guys still on the street. And I said, how do you survive when it's that cold? And one guy said, you just don't stop moving. He said, you just walk and walk and walk and you don't stop moving. And he said, or you might find some plastic in a construction site and roll yourself up in a tube of plastic or something. And it's survival. And I was thinking, when it was freezing cold, I was in the refuge of my bed with my blankets pulled up tight, and my house was a refuge, right? I was not fearing the elements. I was warm. The heater was working. I had a refuge. And so these are the kind of things that we can get in our mind for refuge: safety, protection, rest, both physical, mental, spiritual. Where do we go for refuge? And so most of the refuge we're probably seeking, for the most part, most of us, probably someone isn't hunting ready to take your life, right? You're maybe not fleeing for your life, but a lot of our refuge has to do with fears, problems we're facing. A lot of it's things in our own mind or our past. How do I get a refuge from the past hurts, from the voices, from the scripts of your past? You'll be a failure. You'll always be a failure. Some of that script will run. It's never going to work. It's not going to work. Where's a refuge from that? Where's a refuge from the things we're worried about? Where's a refuge for our problems? Where do we go for refuge, for safety, for security, for protection? And so that's one of the themes of the Psalms and of prayers, that we go to God as a refuge, as a safe place. So last week I said always pay attention to Jesus. This week we're going to encourage us to always make God your refuge. Because as we're going to see, a lot of times we'll make other things a refuge. We'll go to this other thing or place for safety, and it isn't that safe, and it isn't good for us. So always make God your refuge. So the first thing, we'll just look at God as a refuge. I'm going to show you several scriptural passages that describe that. What does that mean? How do we take refuge in God? I mean, how do you take refuge with someone that's invisible? Right? How do we actually do that? And then we're going to look at the difference between a refuge and an escape. A refuge and escape, those are different. And then we'll see Jesus' example. So always make God your refuge. There's the four. They'll come up as we go. The first one is God as refuge. We're going to look at several psalms, but the whole concept came out of Psalm 118 is where I got going on. So if you want to turn, we're going to turn to several psalms today, but if you want to get into Psalm 118, this is what hit me, and like, oh, we need to talk about refuge. So Psalm 118, verse 5 says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. There's times when you come before the Lord, you're praying, and life is fine, and life is normal, and there's things you're worried about. And then there's times you come to the Lord, you're distressed. There's a problem, there's trouble. And so this is when we're coming looking for refuge. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as a helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So I love that here. It's comparing refuge and refuge in God versus man versus a prince, right? You think, would it be better to take refuge in someone that has authority and power in their day, a prince or a leader? They have the resources. He's like, no, no. It's way better to take refuge in God than anything another human could offer you. So this is the picture of refuge. It's a verb. Right here, it's a verb to take refuge in. There's an action. Go to a place where one will find safety, rest, or comfort. Implying the place of refuge is a place to be trusted to keep one safe. So there's an action to it, to take refuge in. So it's not that I just sort of fell over and I was in refuge. I actively sought the Lord. You're in distress. There's people after you there. The psalmist was saying there's people who hate you. And so that could literally be part of your life. There's people who hate you and are working against you. When I come to those places and I can't think of any human that hates me and is after me, I just immediately take it to spiritual warfare. There is Satan and his hosts that are actively working against God and his people. So there is opposition in your life, whether it's another human, whether it's spiritual oppression, right? You look in triumph through God. So that's the whole picture. Take refuge. Actively go to a place of safety. Psalm 31:1 says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge to me, a strong fortress to save me. So I just like that image that you're not going somewhere weak or that you can't find safety. You're going to something that's a rock, immovable, foundation, protection, right? You're not hiding behind something small and wimpy, right? You're hiding behind someone strong. I remember we once had a guy come in here and do a survey, and he said, this is not a fun theme, but he said, if there's ever an active shooting in here, Ryan, where would you hide? And he's like, oh, you could probably hide behind one of those beams, but I'm going to test it and see if I could shoot a bullet through something that thick. And I'm thinking, I don't like any of this conversation, right? But he was trying to, like, what is strong enough to hide behind? God is a rock. He's a refuge. It's way stronger than anything we can envision. Sorry, that was an untested illustration. Maybe I shouldn't have used that one, but come back with me now. Come back. Okay. The rest of that psalm, further down in Psalm 31, says, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. And here, I think most of the things that we probably are struggling from, are fearing from, is actually words, right? The strife of tongues. The words of someone that's hurt you, the words of someone in your life that's unkind to you, even verbally abusive to you, the words of the past, the words of your own head. How many of you, the meanest person to you is you? Anybody there, the meanest person that you just have no grace for yourself? And so here the idea of refuge is I'm coming to God, not because someone's about to shoot me, but because someone, the words are after me. Right, that old sticks and stones may break my bone, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. Right? You can recover from a physical injury a lot faster than we recover from words and emotions and hurts. And so here he's saying, you store me in your shelter from the strife of tongues, from the very words. So that's just a couple of quick places that show that when we're talking about going to God as refuge, you're talking about going to his strength, his protection, his covering over you. But how do we do that? How do you take refuge in God who you can't see? How do you take refuge in God where there's not a place you can go? You can't say, turn down this street, go there, knock three times, and you drive inside the vault of God, right? How do you take refuge in someone who's not with you? There's not a physical fortress. So let's look at a few different ways in the psalm. Psalm 57, 1 and 2 says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. All right, so we're talking about the inner you. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. So some of taking refuge is crying out. You think, well, that might be obvious. But a lot of us don't do it. You're in trouble, you're having a problem, and you cry to everyone but God. You tell your friend, you tell your spouse, you tell your kid, you tell social media, you tell anybody who will listen, except God, right? So this, it might seem obvious, but the first way that you make God your refuge is actually go to him. And this is crying out. There's urgency. There's fervency, like, I have a problem here, and I'm going to take it to God, and I'm going to cry out to God. And much of the Psalms are very raw language. I'm in distress here. It feels like everyone's killing me. It feels like no one's paying attention. That's appropriate. There's urgent, fearful, panic. I'm just crying out to you. It doesn't have to be specific. You don't have to pray with these and thous and get the formula right. Just cry out to God. I'm in a disaster. I don't know what to do. So that's the first one. Just cry out to God. You find refuge by crying out to him. Further down, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre, or I will awaken the dawn. So here he's talking about someone's actually setting a net for him, digging a pit. Someone is actively seeking their destruction. And what was his solution? I'm going to praise and worship. Like, is that really a way you seek refuge? Yes. You begin to praise and worship God. Not because you feel like it, sometimes because it gets the truth into you in a way you remember. You remember songs way differently than you remember just rote words. You mean going into this meeting and it's going to be a bad meeting and I don't know what's going to happen and what could pop into your head? He won't fail, right? You just be, he won't. He won't. He's going into that meeting with me, right? You start to praise the Lord. You start to worship the Lord, and the truth of his presence, the fact that he's a refuge, begins to fill your being. So you cry out to him. You worship him, right? You just say, okay, I'm going to praise God, even in the middle of the problem, and you find God as your refuge. Psalm 57:9 says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. Giving thanks is a way you find refuge. A lot of times because it shows you the refuge you already have. Thank you. I don't know how many times in that snowstorm I said, thank you, Lord, I'm in a warm house, and thank you that my furnace is working, and thank you that my bed is warm, and thank you that I don't work an outside job and had to go out there in it, Lord. I just thank you that I didn't have to drive. Just all that little thing, and you start to realize, boy, the Lord is a shelter around me. The Lord is a refuge. But when you give thanks, you notice all that he's done. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And that helps you take refuge in God. Right? It's hard to be unhappy with what God's doing when you're thanking him. But if we're over making a list, well, this is broken, this is broken, this is broke, we can get really overwhelmed. And we say, God, thank you for this, this, and this. So we give thanks is another way. Here's one we just did, Psalm 62:5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. So it's kind of interesting we'd have both of those things, right? On the one hand, cry out, sing, praise, thank, and then there's other times, you know, I'm just going to sit here and be silent before you. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust him in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. So there's something linked with silence and solitude and trusting God. There's a link there. And I think it's this link of it's a physical declaration that I'm trusting you. I'm going to lay here. I'm going to say nothing. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to pray nothing. I'm just going to lay here. And I'm physically telling my body, you are in control. Because do you ever pray where you're praying and you're asking God to help and telling him how he's going to do it? Because, Lord, you can move that thing and you can make that one doctor come from Missouri who's far away and he has that special skill. And like God's like, oh, I didn't know about Missouri. Thanks. I'm going to call him, right? We don't have to tell him how to solve it, right? We don't have to tell him the solution. He's got Google just like you do. You don't have to tell him, right? You could just lay there or sit or what, you know. You could just come before him in silence and just say, God, I can do absolutely nothing. I don't have to ask you. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to instruct you. I can just be quiet before you, and I'm going to make you my refuge by just being in front of you. And you can solve it. And you're working. Right? And again, at the end there, it says, pour out your heart. So there's times when you're pouring out and you're talking. There's other times you say, I don't even have to say anything. I'm physically putting myself in your care, and I'm just going to be quiet. That was the same thing that it says in Exodus when he led the children of Israel right up to the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh's army come, and they're going, wow, why did you lead us out here to die? There's not enough graves in Egypt. And God says, you're going to see my salvation. You have only to be silent. You just sit there and watch. Watch me part the sea. Watch me rout Pharaoh's army. You just be quiet. You don't have to say anything. So that's making God your refuge. I'd encourage you this week, try some times of solitude and silence, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, and just physically put yourself completely, you're in control, and I don't even have to tell you a thing. Here's another way we take refuge in God, his word. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So that's where we need God's word, and we read it and we hang on to truth. This is where memorizing a verse or focusing on a verse for a week to see if he said it, it's going to prove true. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he said it, and so it's going to protect me. It's a shield. It's going to stop attacks. It's going to stop frontal assaults. God's word is going to prove true. And he's a shield. So it's easy to say that, and it's easy to say, well, yeah, I read the Bible for a couple minutes this morning, but I think there's more that I'm going to just stand behind it. His word is going to prove true. He's going to do what he said. He said he's not going to leave me, then he's not going to leave me. He said he's got plans for me, then he's got plans for me. I don't know what they are. I'm just going to hang on. So that's another way we take refuge. Psalm 37 or 35, 17 says, how long, O Lord, will you look on me? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng I will praise you. So earlier we talked about praising God by yourself, but here, this is where we need each other. There's times you can come in, you're like, I can't even sing that song. I don't have any faith for that song, but the person next to you is singing it, and the person next to you is declaring faith, and you're like, I just needed to hear their faith. I just can't even sing it, right? We sang about that. I can't even voice the prayer. I was so weak. And there's something about one another that we're going to come together. You're going to take refuge in God when you take refuge with his people. We need that weekly reminder at minimum, more, if better, getting Bible studies and prayer groups, that we come to the congregation and we are surrounded by the faith of others, and someone else reads a scripture and you go, oh, that was perfect timing. That was perfect. You know, I was worried about something earlier this week, and Nate here sent me a text like that second. This is Jesus, I give everyone everything to you. And I was like, whoa, is he outside the door? Where is he? It was just perfect timing, right? We needed one another. Right? We need that. So there's that, we take refuge in God coming together. So there, I just made it. There's probably more ways. There's the list I just made. You take refuge in God by crying out to God, praising and worshiping him, giving thanks, wait in silence, trusting him, soak in God's word, and then praise with other believers. Those are ways that's an action you do. And God's presence and strength comes around you in that. Let's consider this thought, a refuge versus an escape. These are very different. A refuge versus an escape. So I'm going to come into Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is a very interesting psalm. I'm going to show you the problem and then come back to the part. The problem that the psalmist David's writing about in Psalm 55 is told to us in verses 12 to 14. Right, he's upset, he's worried, someone's after him, but he doesn't tell us till verse 12 what it is. He says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it." It's like David's like, I could deal with an enemy that hates me, he's my enemy. "It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng." So this psalm, he's describing great distress, and he says, it's not an enemy, it's someone that I used to go to worship with. You see that? I used to walk in God's house with you. We used to take counsel together. We shared all of our problems together. You're my friend. You're my familiar friend. You were so close to me, and now you've turned on me. That's a rough place. Have you been there? A close, deep person of the Lord has turned from you, has betrayed you, is your enemy. That's what he's dealing with in Psalm 55. So I'm going to jump back up. The beginning he's talking about and he's praying, and this is where we see an escape. He says, "Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me, and I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest." That's the desire to escape, right? I just wish I could get out of here. You ever think that? I'm just going to move, right? I'm going to go to everybody else. I'm going to go to Texas or Tennessee. I'm getting out of here, right? Anybody think that? Or maybe not. I'm out of here, right? I've had enough of this. Or I'm going to work somewhere else. Or what if I just never call? You just want to just go away. What if I just got a cabin in Alaska like that guy? You could see that, alone in the wilderness. Guy lived up there 30 years, or at least. I'm out of here. The problems won't find me there. I wish I could just escape this thing, just fly out of here, and all the problems would disappear. People are like, but yeah, but you go with you. Yeah. Yeah, you go with you. So at the end, he finally resolves, "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me, evening and morning and at noon." Do you see that? He's got a 3-time-a-day prayer rhythm. "I utter my complaint and moan. He hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me." So I know I kind of went out of order through that psalm. But you see, he's under attack by a close friend. His heart wants to escape. And at the end, he's like, no, I'm going to take refuge in God. And so that's just that idea of an escape. It really hit me. I'll just share this kind of personally hit me. Right after Christmas, I had 2 calls from people from the past. One guy I worked with years ago, someone I deeply cared about. Another one was from someone that lived a couple doors down from me in my college dorm. And they were calling for completely good reasons. How are you doing? What's going on? We haven't talked in forever. Give me a call back. And I couldn't call them back. And I do not know why. I just would get there and I would just think, I just can't do it. I can't call them back. And I just was like paralyzed to call them. There was no bad blood. There was no problem. They weren't like, you owe me $100. Remember that bet we made in college? There was none of that. And I just was stuck. And I just started to realize that I have this pattern that had elevated and escalated of just avoidance. And so it moved from avoidance of, you know, things that were scary, like if someone's after you, like we just read David saying, I wish I could fly to the woods, to I was avoiding normal things. Like something is just out of order. Something is wrong. And a pastor friend of mine, he's like, man, you might be having some emotional burnout or something, man. He's like, you need to check in on this. So he pointed me to this material. Maybe some of you are familiar with it, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship by a pastor named Pete Scazzaro. He's from the East Coast, and he's been at this for 25 years. But I just started getting a little bit into it and reading it, and avoidance was a big warning. Like, yeah, you've got something going on. You're avoiding things. And so it isn't solved necessarily, but I just started to realize there's something in my heart. I'm not taking refuge in the Lord. I'm building up these things, and instead of solving them, I avoid them. I will fly away. And my avoidance didn't look like me moving to the wilderness. It just looked like I just won't think about it. I won't pick up that phone. I won't call. I'll escape to the TV. And that's not healthy. And so there's just this growth that needs to happen. And so I'm still in the middle of it. I'm working through some of that material. But it just stood out to me that an avoidance was an escape of reality, right? So sometimes you could be pressured for something. You can have a problem, and your desire is to actually escape. You think, I'm going to find a refuge. It's not a refuge. You've just run away, right? You've escaped. I was escaping into avoidance. Sometimes we escape into media. Sometimes we escape into addiction. Sometimes we escape into accomplishment. Whatever it is, we're just saying we're not actually going to God, talking about what's going on. We're not doing any of the things of the list. We're just running from it, and it's unhealthy. And so I just put that out there, that I'm working on this just like you. I can't escape. I can't avoid challenging things. I need to go to God and then walk through them. So who knows? In the next few months, you might be like, I don't like this new Ryan. He called me all the time and told me this problem he was having with me. And I liked it better when he avoided. I can't avoid anymore. But I'm working on it. And so that's the idea, that we want to, when we face the problems, we don't escape them, we don't turn to an unhealthy behavior, we don't turn to avoidance, we don't just run away, we go to God and then follow the path he's laying out for us. So that's the difference between an escape and a refuge. The final thought I'll leave you with is that we just look to the example of Jesus. He made God his refuge. These little summary statements all through the ministry of Jesus. You see one here, Luke 5, it says, but now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, right? The more Jesus healed, the more he got packed and crowded and full schedule, you know, and then it would talk about he'd walk and people would be reaching out to touch him. I don't really want a lot of people reaching out to touch me like that. They're just packing in on him. So he's got full ministry. He's got a whole area to talk, to teach. People crowded around him, and he would say, or he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Didn't matter. People were crowded all around. Didn't matter. He'd get up early to do it. He would get up there all by himself. Desolate means desert or lonely place, right? So you go to somewhere that's a desert or a lonely place, whether it's a physical location or a secret room in your house or next to the wash machine or wherever you're. Desolate place. But that was Jesus' pattern. Right? No matter how crowded, how full, how busy, I mean, if you think of how many people were pressing around him and how many people needed to hear the gospel, if anybody could have a full schedule, it's Jesus, and he would get away and pray. I think the thing that was most evident, it's to be interesting, you'll go read this week, read Jesus in the garden versus Jesus on trial and to the cross. When Jesus is in the garden before the cross, he falls down, he's sweating drops of blood, he's in agony while he's praying, and he's asking God three times if you can take this cup from me. He's in utter agony. When he's done praying, when he's done making God his refuge, Judas, it tells us in John, leads a group of soldiers, and Jesus says, whom are you seeking? And they all fall down. We don't have him saying, no, don't get me, don't get me. Peter, stand in front of me, right? He yells at Peter for taking this. Put that away, right? Put that away, Peter. You don't see him freaking out on trial. You don't see him pleading for his life. You don't see him panic. He wouldn't even talk to Herod. Just calm, confident. He answers a few questions about his identity. He goes to the cross. He bears it. He forgives the people crucifying. The only calling out again is back when he is forsaken by the Father, right? There's totally different. So when he makes God, when he's in the refuge place with God, he's pouring out his soul, he's overwhelmed, he's struggling in the refuge. But after being with God and being filled up, he confidently walks to the cross. And that's the picture, I think, that we can see. When you make God your refuge and you take that time to pray and be filled with him and worship and get it all out in the refuge, then you can face the problem. But if we don't, if we find the escape or we never make God the refuge, you're not going to have any of that strength. Jesus still did go to the cross. Do you know what God's answer to that prayer was? No. There's not another way. I'm not going to take the cup from you. No was the answer. And he still confidently, with the power of God, went to the cross. And so we can have that. You can come into the refuge. You can wrestle with God. God might say, yeah, I hear, and I know you want me to take that away. The answer is no, and you're going to walk through that trial. But I'm with you, and I will strengthen you. And I'm doing something you don't even know what I'm doing. And so that's that example of Jesus going into the refuge. So that's our urging today. This week, would you always make God your refuge? Don't look for an escape. Don't look for everyone else. Go into God in prayer and quiet and silence and scripture and worship, and just keep making him a refuge, the safe place. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you modeled that for us, that you made the Father your refuge. And you would break away from the massive busyness of your ministry on earth to get to the quiet place. Let us follow that pattern and just pour out our problems, our trials, our fears, all to you. And then to be strengthened for the day. Lord, I just pray that. I pray for any here who don't even feel they might even have the strength to do that, that you would empower them to even whisper their prayer to you, to lay before you and just and find you filling them up, strengthening, putting your wings around them, putting your shield in front of them. Lord, let us just find ourselves closer and deeper in you this year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.